Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Act 2. The future is being written now by us. It's an epic movie, a great American masterpiece set in a vast and extraordinary land of mountains and rivers, forests and plains, and a brave young people of great spirit. Join us as we craft the script, as we continue here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
This Saturday at the Glen Canyon Institute outside of Moab, Utah, about 200 people are getting together around a campfire to share stories and laughter by those who knew Edward Abbey. Email me if you want more details. It was Edward Abbey who said, "We can have wilderness without freedom. We can have wilderness without human life at all. But we cannot have freedom without wilderness." This concept and more were the theme of one of the first major wilderness conferences this year, the 2004 Northwest Wilderness Conference, held this past weekend in Seattle. About 200 people came together for the event, and I want to know what happened. To help us, I will be having two guests on, distinguished guests actually, on the line, Dr. John Miles. He's currently the director of the graduate program in environmental education at the Huxley College at Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington, and Dr. Ted Weitzel, ecologist, author, and member of the faculty at Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. Both of these men have many years of serious academic studies and have been actively involved in shaping the nature of wilderness. For the sake of saving as much time as we can to devote to our topic, I will forego more background on our guests. Dr. Miles, welcome to the Wildside News. Hello. Hello.
Hello, this is Ted Weitzel. I'm on the line.
I'm sorry. I have some misinformation on my screen. I apologize for that. Ted, let me take two on this. This is confusing. Anyway, this is Dr. Ted Weitzel, okay? And I apologize for that. And you are an ecologist, an author, and member of the faculty of the Evergreen State College. You attended the conference in Seattle, and obviously an amazing number of things happened there. A lot of discussion was happening. I was going to ask Dr. Miles to give us a summary, but apparently he's not on the line at this point. So you know what? Let's talk. We've talked before, and you certainly have a wonderful perspective about this this event.
Sure. It was an event that happens every couple of years in Seattle. It's got a long tradition, and it was addressed to some very important things that are happening this year, the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, as well as the 20th anniversary of a lot of statewide wilderness acts, including the one here in Washington State. So we were taking a look at lessons learned over the last 40 years and current threats to wilderness areas and some of the work that needs to be done in the future.
Now, there were 200 people. Was it sort of a regional gathering, or were these more from around the country?
Well, it started out being planned as a regional gathering, reaching all the way up to Alaska, down to Oregon and Northern California, and then over to Idaho and Montana. But we did have participation from further afield as well. The emphasis, though, was on the Northwest region.
Great. Now, you've been involved most all of your professional life in issues that relate in particular to wilderness areas and forests and other things. Talk to us about what the sense of wilderness in America is right now based on the conference. What were some of the thoughts that came out?
Well, I can share with you some of the things from the conference and also from my own perspective. I started working on wilderness preservation in 1970 when I was an undergraduate student at the University of Colorado in Boulder. And there has been quite a shift in that period of time in the kind of attention that's paid to wilderness issues.
Hello. Hello, I'm sorry, we're having some sort of technical difficulties here. Ted, are you still with us?
Well, this is John Miles here.
I'm sorry, John. I apologize for it. There's something going wrong with our phone system here. So, anyway, we're trying to figure this out. Anyway, Dr. John Miles, I'm sorry, we're a little confused. I'm confused here. Okay. We were talking to Ted, and he was giving us a background. And Ted, if you're there, I so much apologize for the cutoff. Dr. Miles, you also were at the conference and gave the a summary of the conference. What can you share with us about the conference in terms of how would you summarize what happened?
Well, I feel there are several things happened. First of all, it was a celebration. I think we took note of all the good work that's been done in the past 40 years because this was, of course, the 40th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, and the National Wilderness Preservation System has 106 million acres of designated wilderness, and so there was a good deal of, celebration about that. But also, it was more also dedicated to exploration of what more needed to be done, what more political work needed to be done to achieve more wilderness designation, what coalitions needed to be built. There was a strong tribal presence at the meeting, and a great deal was said about how the tribes and the conservationists need to come together ever more to find common ground and build coalitions to seek to protect nature, because there is a lot of common interest there. And also there were a lot of descriptions of various threats to wilderness that ranged from full field gas development in places like the Rocky Mountain Front to off-road vehicle incursion in many areas that are not yet designated as wilderness and are being rather severely damaged by the use of these machines.
By the way, is Ted, are you still with us here?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry for the whatever happened. I have no idea.
No problem.
I so much apologize. We
no
cut
problem.
You off right in the middle, and I heard you talking in the background. But anyway, so now we do have both of our guests. Gentlemen, you know each other?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Let's talk about wilderness now. Let's open this up. We've got about 8 minutes in this segment, and let's try to figure out, I'd like to figure out the importance of wilderness, what you think we need to do as a people, how we can expand the importance, how we can get this information out there. Let's start with that. And, John, why don't you go ahead and give us a first take on that. And then, by the way, Ted, feel free to, we'll have a dialogue here.
Okay. Yeah, wilderness serves, I think, many purposes, but one of the most important ones today, especially as we understand more and more how we depend on nature, it protects the nature that that society must build its entire foundation upon, protecting watersheds that provide drinking water and so forth and so on. And secondly, I'd say it meets psychological, if you will, needs that we human beings have to get a break from the rapid pace of life, to get away for a moment and kind of contemplate how we are a part of the natural world and relax and you know, just simply get a different perspective on life than we do when we're racing around in our modern lifestyles.
Ted, what would you like to add?
Well, I would like to caution our listeners against a certain academic discourse that's going on about the question that you asked. You're interviewing two academicians, but the conference was definitely an activist conference, with a very minority being from colleges and universities. Those listeners who are familiar with a lot of the literature that's going around debating the idea of wilderness will be aware of some very important discussion, very productive discussion, that centers on the myths that are associated with the idea of wilderness. But what we were focused on at the conference was the practical politics of protecting areas that need protection. And wilderness is the name that's being used because it's the strongest legislative designation that exists for protecting areas that are in a relatively undisturbed condition. And that's what we're focused on, not the debate over the more philosophical and cultural implications of the word wilderness. And so when John and I are talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, when we're talking about the importance of wilderness, we're talking about the importance of getting the U.S. Congress to set lands aside from logging, road building, mining, hydroelectric dam construction, and other forms of alteration, because that form, those forms of land change have gone on to such a degree that we have to simply set aside some lands before we totally overrun every square inch of the United States.
Yes, I agree completely with that.
So what is the state of the art in wilderness today? Where are we now in terms of the discussion that you've just laid out for us? And how do we start from today and continue to make sure that wilderness is a viable reality for us all?
Well, I think there's two dimensions of that. One is we need to manage the wilderness we've already designated effectively so that it remains healthy, natural environment, natural community. And secondly, we need to work ever more determinedly to establish additional wilderness, working in the Congress and in the political realm, to see that we may have half as much wilderness as we possibly could ultimately have. I mean, it's 100 million plus acres, but there's another 100 million acres of roadless, relatively pristine land that could still be included in the National Wilderness Preservation System, and I think it should be, and that's what we need to dedicate ourselves to achieve.
Anything to add?
Yeah, I think basically you can sum it up by saying that our work will never be done. And that reflects a lot of the things that John just said. There's a lot of areas that are eligible for inclusion in the Wilderness Preservation System, and it's going to be a very long-term project to get those areas passed by Congress. And, of course, once they're set aside, as John implied, there are a lot of concerns that we have over management questions and use levels and things like that. So the work will never end, and it really depends on a strong citizen movement to make sure that this happens. We can't rely on having benevolent politicians or responsible land managers in the federal agencies. Those things are also important, but unless there's a strong movement, a widespread social movement, to push the politicians and the land managers to do their best job, then the wilderness system isn't going to grow like it should, and it won't be protected in the long term like it should.
Again, my guests are Dr. John Miles and Dr. Ted Weitzel. Ted, you actually did a marvelous book that's just coming out now, which I have referenced on the website, called Defending Wild Washington, and it really does deal with this on-the-ground sort of means to establish wilderness, research it, find out what happens, and make sure something positive does happen. Talk to us about that research, because I find that very practical.
Yes, this is a book that was written by my undergraduate students here at the Evergreen State College and was published by the Mountaineers Books. It just came out. It was premiered at the Wilderness Conference that happened last weekend in Seattle, and we were very pleased with the enthusiastic response we got from the people there. That meant a lot to us because the people there are quite central to the book. We're telling the story in the book of what has been accomplished by the citizen conservation movement in Washington State. Remarkable things. Lands have been set aside that are of great value for future generations. And we lay out the work that continues to be done with a lot of case studies around the state to protect old-growth forests, to protect coastal zones, to protect estuaries, to protect the shrub steppe in the Columbia Basin, et cetera, et cetera. There's a tremendous amount being done by citizens all over the state. And the book is billed as a citizen's action guide. There's a lot of practical tools as well as inspirational stories. There's a lot of information about the agencies and laws and regulations and citizen organizations that people need to know about in order to get involved in a meaningful way.
At some point here, I'll have a link on that people will be able to actually buy the book. If they were interested in the book, where could they get that now? And then we'll talk a little bit more.
Great. I really appreciate that.
This is through the Mountaineers Publishing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And they can go to tell us where they could go to get the book.
Well, right now, the easiest way is go to the Mountaineers Books website, www.mountaineersbooks.org. The book will be available in all major bookstores in Washington State, at least. We still haven't seen it come out in the bookstores yet, but it's on its way. It should be there very shortly. Very reasonably priced. I also just want to say that all royalties will be donated to conservation education at the Evergreen State College.
Well, you both of you gentlemen have worked long years in bringing about some very enlightened educators in the environment. We have about a minute left. I'm going to ask Ted to, if you can, give us three of the most important points, and I'm going to ask John to respond to that and take it for a close. So, Ted, what are three most important points in terms of on-the-ground action?
Are you asking about the conference?
Well, actually, from your experience and the conference, but let's put them all, we're going to summarize here now.
Okay. Well, there are many coalitions that need to be built. The wilderness movement needs to take advantage of the great popularity in the American public for preserving wildlands and wild waterways. The movement has a great potential to expand, but we need to work harder to include more kinds of people in the wilderness movement. I think that's one lesson that I just want to leave you with.
Okay, and Dr. Miles, what would you like to close with here?
Well, I would like to echo his point that we need to include more people. I have a number of students who are from what we would think of as minority groups whom we're trying to get out into the field who have not had an experience of this, and they need to have more of it. And I would say also we need to educate more broadly about the values of wilderness, the importance of it, and how indeed we depend upon it.
This conversation will continue with two amazing guys out there. I want to thank you both for joining us on the Wild Side News.
Thank you.
We're writing the history of the future as we go here on the Wild Side News, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.